Well, morning, folks, here in the auditorium, and if you're up in the gallery watching, then hi to you. And if you're listening in online, then we want to say good day, and we pray that God will bless you as you listen in with us today. We've been doing a little series about choosing our future because God gives us the freedom to choose. And the choices we make in the different areas of our lives, they make a real impact on how our lives unfold, and they determine whether or not we live the kinds of lives that God purposes for us. To be who God created us to be and to do what God made us to do, we've seen that we need to have the right values and we have to have the right guide, the Holy Spirit, and we need to walk through the right doors. And today we're going to think a little bit about how we need a team, a bunch of friends, if you like, a brains trust, a support group to help us with our choices. Because successfully living our lives is never a one-person show. We could be a solo Olympic athlete and we still need a team. We'd have to have a coach and a doctor and all other kinds of people in our lives. We started with the idea that God has a purpose for our lives, but we can't fulfill it on our own. In fact, the very first thing that God said when he created men and women was, "It is not good for man and woman to be alone." It seems in God's purposes, we're wired for relationships. We're created for community. We need people in our lives. We can't fulfill God's purpose for our lives by ourselves. So we need other people in different areas of our lives, and we're going to look at choosing the right people in our lives and some reasons why we need a team of people in our lives and specifically what to look for in those people. So as we prepare to do that, let's pray. Our Lord, thank you for the community here at Church in the Marketplace. Thank you for the community of people that are our friends and acquaintances. And we pray that you would teach us how to have people around us who are helpful in us fulfilling your purposes for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, very quickly, we're going to start with four kinds of people we're going to need to be all that God wants us to be. First of all, we need models in our lives, models who inspire us by their example. I need a model of where I need to go. I've needed minister models because being a minister was part of God's purpose for my life. Everything we learn in life, we learn by modeling, how to talk, how to walk, how to eat. We learn it by watching other people. Secondly, we need some mentors. Mentors are people who coach us. They help us get where we need to go in life. Of course, nobody can mentor us in every area, so we're going to need different kinds of mentors during our life. Then we need partners. Partners who share our lives and work with us. Partners are the people who share our dreams, if you like, maybe a career dream, a cause, a purpose. It's where we say, I want to really do this with my life, and we need some other people who share that dream and work with us on it. They're our partners. And finally, we need friends who love and pray for us. Friends may not share our dream. They may not work on our dream with us, but they're good friends. They walk in when everybody else walks out. And we all need friends. We don't need a lot of friends in life, but we need a few. And our best friends should make us our best. If our friends don't build us up, then they're not our friends. We want to have people around us who lift us up. If I'm standing here on the edge of the stage, is it easier for me to lift you up or for you to pull me down? That's right. Easier to pull me down. We don't want friends who pull us down. We may know what God wants to do with our lives. We may know our dream for life, but we'll miss it if we choose the wrong friends, because the right friends will push us in the right direction and the wrong friends will pull us in the wrong direction. So we need mentors and models and partners and friends. They're like our brains trust, our personal support group, maybe different ones at different times in our life, but we need those four kinds of people. 1 Corinthians says, we work together as partners who belong to God. So this morning I want to focus for a minute on really the third group of people. How do we build a team of partners? Because I want us to live life well, and I want us to choose well, and many people don't choose well. That they either aren't serious about fulfilling God's purpose for their lives, or they've never built a team of people around them. And when times get tough, they're going to get discouraged and they're going to flame out or burn out or dry up. Or sometimes God's purpose for our lives is far bigger than something we can fulfill by ourselves, and we'll need other people in our lives. So here's some of the things that the Bible says about teams. Number one, we need a team for our lives to make up for our weaknesses. I need a team of other people around me to make up or to compensate for my weaknesses. Nobody has all the talent. No, nobody does. Nobody has all the knowledge. Nobody has all the time. Nobody has all the strengths. And we all have weaknesses. God intentionally did it that way, I suspect, so that we're all shaped differently and so that we need each other to get the job done. Romans 1 verse 12 says, I want us to help each other with the faith we have. Your faith will help me, and my faith will help you. Number two, we need teams in our lives to bring out the best in us. We need a team not just to compensate for our weaknesses, but to bring out our best. It's what coaches do. You may be the best singer in the world, but you still need a vocal coach. And every pro needs a coach, no matter how much of a pro they are. And we need people in our lives who bring out the best in us. Proverbs 27 says, just as iron sharpens iron, friends sharpen and shape each other. That's what we want to look for in friends. Do they sharpen me? Do they shape me? If they don't sharpen us, if they don't shape us, they're not really our friends. They may be an acquaintance, but we should only have as our closest friends people who sharpen us, who make us better, who help us become who we're supposed to be. A third reason we need a team is to get more done. That's pretty obvious. Two people can get more done than one. Three can get more done than two. Four can get more done than three. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, it says, two people are always better than one because they can accomplish more by working together. Number four, we need a team in our lives to help us get back up when we stumble. We may have God's purpose for our lives all sorted. That doesn't mean we're going to go directly there. We're going to make a lot of mistakes. We're going to fall. We're going to stumble. James 3 verse 2 says, we all stumble in many ways. Thanks for the addition, James. We all stumble in many ways. Well, so what? It doesn't matter if we have a team to help us get back up. Ecclesiastes 4 says, if you fall, a companion can help you get up. But if you fall by yourself, you're in real trouble because there's no one to help you. Number five, we need a team in our lives to resist attacks and criticism. Why? The moment we choose a dream for our lives, somebody is not going to like it. No matter who we are in life, we're going to be criticized by somebody. We just have to decide who we want to be criticized by. Do I want to be criticized by small-minded thinkers? Do I want to be criticized by people who don't understand the kingdom of God? Or do I want to be with people who do understand that people matter to God, that Jesus is the way, and who are big thinkers? Those are the people I'd care about. We can't care about everybody's opinion. We can't please everybody. We can't even please ourselves much of the time, let alone everybody around us. So Ecclesiastes 4 says, by yourself you're unprotected. An enemy can attack and defeat you, but two can stand back to back and resist. A team of three is even better, like a triple braided rope which does not break easily. The more strands you have in the rope, obviously the tighter it is. The more people we have on our team, the stronger our team's going to be, and we're going to be less likely to cave under attack. When we're by ourselves, when we get criticized and somebody attacks what we're doing, we get hurt, we get offended, we get discouraged, we're likely to give up if we don't have the right team around us. Now, what kind of people do we keep closest to us who become the team to help us? We need to choose people who love and serve God. That's the bottom line. We want to choose people who are going to be close to us who love and serve God. If people who are close to us don't love and serve God, we're certainly not going to go in the right direction. 2 Corinthians 6 says, "Don't team up with those who reject God. How can you make a partnership out of right and wrong? That's not a partnership, that's war. Can light be best friends with darkness? How can Christ and Satan agree on anything?" The Message paraphrase just puts it like this: you choose people who want to love and serve God. Second, we want to choose people who are committed to growing in character. We want to have people around us who are interested in growing their character. Talent will only take us so far. Character will take us to the end of our lives. There's a lot of talented people who flame out, who end up in the ditch, who don't make it to the finish line of life. They had great talent, but they had no character. Now, there's a couple of things that make up character. First of all, integrity. If we want to fulfill God's purposes, we live with integrity. Proverbs 10 says, "People with integrity have firm footing, but those who follow crooked paths will slip and fall." And integrity is not just about honesty. It's also about keeping our focus and not getting distracted from what God has called us to do. The second thing we need is humility. Proverbs 3:34 says, "God has no use for conceited people, but he shows favor to those who are humble." Humility isn't thinking less of ourselves. It's thinking of ourselves less. The humble person doesn't go around saying, "Oh, I'm not good. I'm junk. I'm worthless." That's not humility. That's false humility. The humble person just doesn't think that much about themselves. When they walk into a room, they're not going, "Does everybody think I'm great?" They walk into a room saying, "How can I help that person?" There's humility, there's integrity. And the third thing we look for in a team, because we want this in our own lives, is generosity. Proverbs 22:9 says, "Generous people will be blessed." There are more promises in the Bible about generosity than any other promise. So we need to surround ourselves with a team of generous people. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about time or attention or compliments or praise or affirmations. Being generous in every area of our lives. Being willing to help other people. Psalm 92 says, "Godly people will grow and flourish like palm trees. Even in old age they will still bear fruit and they will stay fresh and green." So there you are. Doesn't matter how old we are. Even in old age, they will still bear fruit and they will stay fresh and green. So we need people in our lives who do what's right, even when it's hard. We want people in our lives who will do the right thing. Justice, righteousness, goodness, godliness, even when it's hard. Deuteronomy 12 says, "If you are careful to obey whatever God commands, then you will be doing what is right and good in God's eyes. Then he will help you and your children to be successful." That promise of success from God, but he says we've got to be willing to do the right thing. Psalm 34 verse 19 says it this way: "People who do what is right may have many problems, but the Lord will solve them all." I think we've still got a few to go, Lord. Notice though, God doesn't promise that if we do the right thing, it will be easy. It won't. We're going to have problems. If we say, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and that's my number one priority in life," don't be surprised when people who aren't seeking first the kingdom of God don't like it. They're going to fight it. They're going to be against it, but we've got to say, I am willing to do the right thing, and God says, I will take care of what needs to be done. We need to look for people who handle criticism by focusing on God. They don't retaliate. They don't try to get back at the people criticizing. They just handle it by focusing on God. We will be criticized by somebody, and we need to know how we're going to handle criticism in our lives. Matthew 5 says, you should be happy when you're attacked and persecuted for doing what God has told you to do. You should be happy about it. It shows that you belong to the kingdom of heaven, and God will bless you when people insult you or hurt you or say all kinds of evil lies about you because of me. Be happy and glad because you will be given a great reward in heaven. People did these exact same things to God's prophets who lived long ago. You are the salt of the earth. Hebrews 10 says it this way, do not lose your courage because it brings great reward. So there's one last group of people. That's people who take bold risks in faith. God has a purpose for our lives, but to do it, we're going to have to take some bold risks in faith. So Acts 15 says, along with Paul and Barnabas, we're sending some men who have risked their lives for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. So my prayer for us here at Church in the Marketplace is we will be filled with women and men who use their lives for Jesus. He's the only one worth risking our lives for. The problem that we have today is that we live in a culture where we're giving first class allegiance to second class causes. And those causes have betrayed us. Materialism, hedonism, secularism, they don't work. They're dead ends. The sexual revolution movement is a dead end. It leads to emptiness. Today we have people climbing the ladder of success, and when they get to the top, they realize too late it's leaning against the wrong wall. We need to take risks in life, but we need to take risks that are for the glory of God and that are for God's purposes for our lives. Now, if we're going to fulfill the purpose that God made us for, one of the things we're going to have to do is stop being who everybody else wants us to be. God did not create us for us to be who our parents want us to be. God did not create us to be who our boyfriend or our girlfriend wants us to be. God didn't create us to be who our spouse wants us to be. God didn't create us to be who culture tries to pressure us to be. God made you to be you. If we're going to be who God wants us to be, at some point, we're going to have to stop apologizing for being people of faith. We're going to have to say, this is me. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm not ashamed of it. This is me. We have to stop being ashamed of being Christian. And it's one of the nice things about baptism down at Bronte. It's a public declaration of who I am in Christ. So we've got to stop thinking who other people think we ought to be. We can't fulfill God's dream for our lives without saying, this is me. This is who I am. I'm a follower of Jesus and I'm not ashamed of it. Acts 13 says, David served God's purpose in his generation and then he died. Maybe that's a pretty succinct statement of a life well lived. To serve God's purposes in our generation. David served God's purpose. That means he did that which never changes, but he did it in a world that's constantly changing. He fulfilled God's purpose in a timely way in his generation. He did that which is eternal in a relevant way that people could understand. He served God's purpose, which is going to last forever, but he did it in his generation. We can't serve God in somebody else's generation. Either we do it now or we don't. In every generation, God raises up women and men to be like Joshua. They're the people who take the children of God into the promised land. So my question at the end of this little series is, will you be that woman? Will you be that man? Will we serve God's purpose in our generation? Will church in the marketplace serve God in our generation? We can't be half-hearted. Either we will step up and say the rest of my life is the best of my life, or we can kick the can down the road and hope somebody else picks it up. We don't have to be perfect to be used by God, but we do have to have a heart that's turned towards God. We don't have to be sinless, but we do have to have our heart turned in the right direction. And we say to God, God, I'm all in. I want you to use me. And then God will use us. 1 John 5 says, every child of God can defeat the world, and our faith is what gives us this victory. No one can defeat the world without having faith in Jesus as the Son of God. So friends, it all starts with us saying to God, the rest of my life is yours. Let's pray. God wants to say this to us. I want to use you. I have a purpose for your life. You may have missed it up to this point, or you may have dabbled in it, but it's nothing compared to what God wants to do. And it starts with our choices, choosing our values, choosing the direction of God's Holy Spirit, choosing the doors we will walk through, and choosing the right people around us. Church in the marketplace will help be part of that team for you. So let's pray this together in our hearts. God, I'm all in. I don't want to waste my life pleasing people who don't care about you. I want to please you. I'd love your favor in my life. I want to live a life of integrity and humility and generosity. And I want to surround my life with people who are committed to doing the right thing, even if it's hard. And I don't want to get caught up in being critical and complaining. I want to live a life with people who love you and serve you and are growing and learning and becoming better every day. I want to be part of this church in the marketplace family. And I want you to use me. Give me the right team and use our church family together to make an impact in our generation. For as long as we live, Lord, I want to be part of that group that serves your purpose in my generation. So Jesus, I invite you to take over every area of my life, and I ask you to accept me into your family and one day into your heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.